Good morning. It's really nice to be here with you all. Christina comes up often, and I don't. And so I miss out on the joy of seeing you all, and so it really, truly is nice to be here with you all. I've met a couple new people already, so it's neat to see that the numbers are growing here at Fenton. It's neat to hear reports of people and how the Lord's working here. So praise the Lord. Let's begin by prayer. Father, it is it's a wonderful thing to spend this morning with your people. I walk in late to a meeting where we were remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was a joy to remember you with them. And then, Father, I just sat here and listened as this group of people sang songs of praise to you and worship. And I would close my eyes and try to imagine being in heaven and that beautiful sound to you. You deserve it. And so it's so good, Father, to be with your people. So good to see your name lifted high. It's so good to know that you are a God that loves us and loves to hear our feeble voices. So good to know that you have given us all that we need this morning to know you. We have you. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who has made it possible. We have him as an advocate pleading on our behalf. We have the Holy Spirit who lives in us, who as well speaks to you about us. We have everything we need to have everything we need in you. And so thank you, Father, for making that possible. And Father, now we are about to look into your word, this gift that you have given us to know you through. Thank you for it. We just want to ask for your help right now. There is no reason to be here, to hear from your word if we don't listen and respond. We want to respond to you. I'm not the man speaking this morning. We want it to be Christ. We want it to be your word that is lifted up. And I don't want to be seen behind this pulpit. I want the word of God to be magnified and you to teach us through your spirit. So give help, I pray. And Father, would you change our hearts, something, add to us a joy of knowing you, a depth that we don't have at this moment. Bring something new to our hearts today that would draw us closer to you, a wonderful God. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I wanted to share with you something real quick. I almost have three mini things to share with you today. The Lord laid something on my heart yesterday that I kind of wanted to share with you because it kind of rolls into today, me being late with my family. So this last week, I just had a wonderful time with God. Lately, I've enjoyed for a while now just going out and going in a field next to our home and just being with God and talking to him. So I was doing that a couple days ago, and the Lord showed me some neat things, and I went home, and all of a sudden the afternoon was a disaster. I became impatient. I had issue after issue at camp, and I got frustrated, and I was like, this isn't working so well. And so then a couple nights ago, then I went, and I was praying again, and just, Lord, I need your help. And the Lord very clearly showed me, Micah, all these little things I'm putting in your life, they're exactly what are needed for those prayer requests that you are asking about knowing me more. I'm actually making those people test your patience so you can know me. I'm actually giving these things in your life. I'm letting them be in your life so that you can know the depth of my love and how good of a God I am. And so this morning, I didn't have a lot of time to pray. It's become my habit to make sure I spend time with the Lord in the mornings. It's a good amount of time, but this morning I didn't have a lot of time, so I went out to a spot where I knew my family wouldn't hear me in the garage, and I just got on my knees and said, Lord, I need your help today. Here I am. I'm your servant. Whatever you bring my way, I'm ready. And I want to glorify you through it. Worst prayers to pray. And so this morning then, our car, you know, last night we had the car problem. So this morning we had my mom and dad's car, and we're driving, and my son decides to get car sick and throw up. We have to pull over. So we're on our way again. My son decides to get car sick and throw up. We pull over again. And it's just, you know, I'm like, Lord, you're trying to teach me exactly what I'm asking you. And so it was a joy to see. I actually think I responded pretty well through all those circumstances. But it was a joy to see. See, God wants us to know him, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. He wants us to have this great relationship, and he's going to bring those kids with throw-up into our lives that we can know him. So praise the Lord that he loves us and that he longs for us to know him, and he's going to do what it takes. He did that to the children of Israel, whatever it took that they might walk with him. And he'll do the same with us. He loves us very much. He loves you very much. I wanted to share with you a little bit about camp. I didn't put a slideshow together. It's been a very, very, very busy season. And right now we're in the midst of Ozark Family Camp. And I'm not the IT technician type of guy. And so the guy that would do that, it's just been so busy. So I don't have a slideshow with all the pictures of you guys being there working. I want to start by saying thank you to everyone in here that was a part of the camp, and I think that was really everyone in here. Some of you were there physically. Some of you dropped people off and left. Some of you cooked and counseled, and some of you directed week after week after week after week. Jimmy Fitzgerald. And some of your kids came and enjoyed the camp, hopefully. And a lot of you, if not all of you, helped, I think everyone, because this church as a whole supports those kids. So you've all supported Turkey Hill in a way. So thank you so much. We really appreciate all that you do. Prayers, being there, whatever you've done, we appreciate it, and thank you. Wanted to share just a few things with you about this summer. This was my first summer being the actual director of Turkey Hill. That was new, and that was exciting and very difficult. So I've done a lot of the jobs. I was the assistant director my entire time there. That's what I came in, was to be the assistant to my father, Sonny Williams. Someone called me Little Sonny earlier, so I think that was how it was said. I've been the assistant director, so I've learned a lot of things, but once I became the director, it was like, wow, it's time. Micah's making every decision that this camp is, and it's reflecting all on me. So it was a new trial that the Lord brought me through, but it was a joyful one. Every single instance, I could see the Lord work through it. It was a real joy to see. One thing I wanted to share with you is we've had this mission statement. It's a rather long mission vision statement, but recently, talking to a couple of our board members, it kind of ended up being a shorter one that I just loved, and it is the same vision for that camp that has been all along. Because I was reading back in the early board minutes, and I remember there was a quote in a newspaper article from Jim Allen. He was one of the board members, Dr. Jim Allen. He basically said, the reason we're here is that the kids can hear the gospel. And it said more than that, but what we say now is this: souls saved and souls discipled in order to send souls out. That's what Turkey Hill is all about. Seeing campers come, people come to camp to either come to know the Lord Jesus Christ or to be discipled, in order that they can return to their homes and do the exact same thing and replicate. That's the biblical model, and that's what we want to do. And so it was a joy to see the Lord do that this summer. What will happen is, one neat thing is, we have counselors and staff, and we have head counselors above the counselors, and then there's me up there that should be down here, and we realized that we weren't really encouraging these counselors and the staff to really live that mission statement out like we should. And so the Lord showed us very clearly in 1 John 4:19, my mind is blank, we love him because he first loved us. That's what we needed to do. We needed to start to think about that as a group of staff. Why are we doing what we are at camp? Is it because it's a good ministry? Is it because it's a fun place to be? Is it because it's a good service? It's none of those. It's because he loved us, and that's why we are there. That's why we are there at Turkey Hill serving. That's why you guys come and serve. It's because God has loved you, and you say, okay, I'm going to love you back. And so that's why we do it. And so what we started to encourage one another with is these four things. Love the Lord your God. That's first and foremost. Anything else aside from that is, without a love for God, it's useless. Love the Lord your God. Love the campers, lead by example, and proclaim the gospel. All of those things without a love for God, there's no point in it. We can do it. We can serve very well in the flesh, and it can be worthless. But loving God, when it all trickles down from that, that's where we found a great joy. And so that happened week two. We started realizing we need to encourage one another. Micah Williams needs to stand up and lead in that way. The head counselors, the staff, the counselors. And it was a joy to see that actually kind of transformed how we approached the rest of the summer. And so the Lord did wonderful things. I wanted to share with you a few quick stories of what God did this summer. So there were many campers. Turkey Hill, if you don't know, there's a lot of kids that come from backgrounds that just have no idea about the gospel. I would say at least half of them don't have a good understanding about Christ's love. And so there were some of these kids that come, and I want to share three stories. One is this boy named Throne. He's been going to my church in Jeff City. We have a Monday Nighters Club. It's like Urawana. And he's been coming for, I think, 3 years. He's a young kid, a very, very bad background. His father has been in jail. His mother, it's been a very tough life for him. And this one lady from another church in Jeff City started to invest in his life and his brother's life and a whole group of these kids that kind of live in a project-type area. And so Throne has been to our Monday Nighters for a long time, and we give him the gospel every Monday. And he never seems to really respond. He kind of, I know what this is. But he came to camp this summer, and it was a really tough week for him. And he had to come into the office because he had done something to a camper, and I talked to all the problem kids. That's my job. And so he came in, and he's sitting down, and he was actually Matthew Taylor's camper. And so Matthew was in there, and he's sitting down, and I was like, Throne, what's the matter? And he wouldn't open up to me, and we started talking about things. And I said, Throne, you've told us that you're a Christian, but what you just did doesn't indicate a life of obedience to God. That was a pretty poor example of being a child of God. And I said, do you know that you're saved? And he said, I'm not saved. I don't know God. And all of a sudden, tears, just huge tears, and the biggest I've seen, just started rolling from his face. He said, I need to know God. And Throne got saved that night. Praise the Lord, huh? It was a joy to see that. That's not the only one. There was this homesick boy. He came in. I can't remember whose week. I think it was Jimmy. Jimmy was the speaker, I think. And he came in and he said, Jimmy was the speaker. He came in and he said, I'm really homesick and I want to go home. And his counselor was there. And this is a kid from not here. He's in Columbia, Missouri. He said, I want to go home. And I said, why do you want to go home? He said, I'm just scared. And I said, why are you scared? Well, the speaker said, if we don't know God, we're not going to heaven. I said, well, do you want to know God? Do you want to be saved? Yeah, I think so. And I read him some verses, and tears started flowing from his eyes. And he said, I'm good now. I think I can stay. And it was a joy. So see, in a kid's life, it's so simple. Salvation is such a joy for them. It's just like okay, I trusted in God. And it was a joy to see that. There was this homesick girl. This was a different one. She professed salvation, but she came in and she was just really struggling. She's just furious. I want to go home. She came in and sat on the couch in the office. The head counselor and the counselor were there, and she started curled up in a little ball, and she would not look at me. And I just kept saying, look, you need to look at me. You need to listen to me. She would not. For 5 minutes, she would not respond and open up to me. One of the hardest things about my job is I'm not a counselor. I have no skills whatsoever, aside from what the best skill I guess I have is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit in me. So I have no skills, and I'm just trying to get her open up. And finally, she opens up enough, and we say, okay, we're going to pray for you every day this week. All the staff is going to pray that you can stay. And she said, oh, I'm not going to. I'm going to be going home by tomorrow. Well, we found out that this girl loves horses, loves them so much. And so we made sure that she saw the horses every day. And she ended up staying, and she ended up really growing in her relationship with God. That's why we're there, because we love him so much that we want to love him back and give our lives and see other people, souls saved, souls discipled, in order to see souls sent out. So the Lord was really, really amazing, good to us. Every week we have a meeting with the staff and the counselors, and every week numerous kids were being saved, numerous kids. It was a joy to see. One other thing that was amazing to see, and I'm using all these words, amazing and joy. I don't know another way. It really was good. That's just how I can express it. It was a good summer. One other thing we saw is that we were short on staff almost every week this summer. We just didn't have a lot. Well, week six was a tough week. I don't know if any of you are on Facebook, but I put out one of these little videos, and said that we need staff, and I might have to be a counselor, our head counselor might have to be a counselor, and two other guys might have to be a counselor, and we asked for you to pray and you to come and counsel. And well, after I put that video out, we lost two more people. And I was like, okay, that's not really how I was thinking this was going to go. And we were asking the Lord to provide. And he ended up providing one other person. And we were able to make some arrangements. So we were short, but we were able to cover the kids to make sure that everything was done. But it was not what I expected at all. He took people away. And who did I think of in the Bible at that moment? This is a question. Gideon. I was like, wow, God is pulling a Gideon on us. He is taking our numbers away. And I realized the reason he did that is he wanted us to see he can do the work with the numbers he wants. That's what he did in Gideon's life, right? 10,000 to 300, I think, is the number. Is that right, maybe? Something like that. I think that's it. And God was glorified. And so that's what we saw at campus, that God simply said, okay, I want to be glorified, and this is how it's going to work. So praise the Lord. He did great things, and we are joyful. And now it's time to go to the message, which is not very much time to go. So again, thank you all for everything that you've done, praying, giving of yourselves, giving of your children. Parents with kids that came to staff, thank you so much for lending your kids to us. And those cooks that came and put up with us for a week, thank you so much. It's been a great joy. All right, so what I want to share with you today is a message that the Lord has just been really teaching me over the last year, and it's this idea and this truth in the Bible that we see of drawing near to God. So Hebrews chapter 10. I'm not a title type of guy when I give a message, but today I'll give a title to it. It's an awesome invitation. That's what we're going to look at today. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. And I want to do something a little different that I've never done before, but last night the Lord asked me, or convicted me of this, or laid it on my heart. And I want to do this. It's in Luke chapter, you don't need to turn there, but in Luke chapter 4, we see the Lord Jesus is reading the Word of God. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, He came to Nazareth, and where he was, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Oh, before that, it says that he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. The Lord Jesus went in to read the Word of God, and it was funny. He went and sat down to preach. In Ezra, we see that when the people read from the Word of God, they stood up. And so what I'd like to do today is I'm just reading a few verses. And what I want us to remember by this, I'm going to ask us to stand while I read these few verses. It's a reminder for all of us that the Word of God is His Word to us. It is to be revered. It is wonderful. It's a precious thing to us. And it's a good reminder for me as well that I'm not the one teaching us today. We trust that the Lord is going to be the one that teaches us. So could we just stand as we read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us, through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. All right, you can be seated. Thank you for putting up with my strange ways. So let us draw near. An awesome invitation this morning is what I want to title this. And I'm going to look at three things. The first is the request that is made, or the invitation. The second is the requirements, or if we want to look at it as an invitation going to a wedding, the dress code that is required, and then the response that we should have. When you get an invitation in the mail, you respond in one way or another, or maybe you don't even respond, but there is a response that should be had. So we're going to look at the request, the requirements, and the response. So, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, it says, and then it goes on, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near. Let me ask you a quick question for you to think about. Have you drawn near to God this week? Aside from church today, this past week, did you draw near to God at all during your week? You see, He's put before us in Hebrews chapter 10 an amazing invitation that every believer in this room can receive. Every believer in this room can respond to. And it's this invitation of let us draw near to him. And earlier on in the earlier chapters, it talks about the old covenant, the old way. And I want to look at that for just a minute. The old covenant, it says in chapter 9, verse 6, "Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services, but into the second part of the high priest went alone, once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin committed in ignorance." So in the old covenant, the high priest, or just the priest, would go into the first part of the tabernacle, and then the high priest himself would only go into the second part of the tabernacle one time a year. And he had to go bringing blood to sacrifice for the people. And then later on in chapter 10, it says in verse 11, "Every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin." So it was this continual going into the presence of God. And it was under the old covenant, it was a select few that would enter into this time, the holiest with God. And yet under the new covenant, it says right here, all believers can draw near to God. Isn't that an awesome invitation that you and me can draw near to him? And most of my life, we're going to look at a few people later. I would look at people like Moses. I would see Moses enjoying the presence of God, and I would say, man, that's awesome. I will never be like that. That is not the truth. We can enjoy God's presence in our life. And so we have this new covenant. We're not going to go into all of this, because I want to make just a simple point about this joy of this invitation, that we have this new covenant which has been made possible through Christ. So the request to us is, let us draw near to him. And so man's response to an invitation that would come to your mailbox could be multiple ways. You can have an invitation come to you, and it can say, first of all, you could have one come and never even open it up, because you're like, I don't even know who that person is. You could have one come, you open it up, and it has the RSVP, and you're like, well, I could respond, but I'm not going to. You could respond to that invitation, or you could actually then just go to it after you respond. So there's a lot of responses that we could have, but God says, I want you to do one thing. I want you to draw near to me. I've invited you to draw near to me. And then, so we look at the requirements. So we look at the request. The request is, let us draw near. The requirements, or the dress codes, if we look at it in this idea of an invitation to a wedding, what does that look like? Well, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. So what is the requirements? The requirements are the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the requirements for us. We go to a wedding. I don't know. I'm not like a good dresser. But you go to a wedding, there's some people that dress really good. There's some like me who are kind of barely making it by. And some dress places you go, there's the black tie. There's no dress code at all. But here we have a requirement. That requirement is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the child of God, having been saved by Jesus Christ's blood, his death, his sacrifice, I can draw near to God. Anyone who sits here in this room who is the child of God can draw near to God. That's the dress code. That's the requirement, is being the child of God. And it's a new and living way. It's not the old covenant way. It's a new living way. It's a new pathway, a new way that has been made for us to draw near to him. And it's offered to us sitting in this room. Those that know him, we can draw near to God. So, we want to be prepared. We want to be ready to meet him. And it says that, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, it's not something, if you go to a wedding, you could either go in and be a little unsure of things or just go in having a great time. I remember when I got married, I knew I was supposed to be there, right? I knew I was welcome. I knew it was a good place for me to be. I've gone to other weddings, I'm like, well, I barely know this person, but I've been invited, so it's good to be here. With the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have boldness going into his presence and drawing near to him. I can respond to this with boldness because the blood of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, is what has made it possible. So let us draw near with boldness. And now the response is, why? Why do we draw near to him? Why would I want to do this? Why would I want to respond to an invitation that's been given to me by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would I want to draw near to him? And I was thinking about this in 1 John chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, 19, we love him because he first loved us. Why do I want to draw near to God? Because he has loved me. And I think that's a reason enough that I would want to know him. I think that's reason enough that I would want to respond to him and say, okay, you loved me so much. You gave this amazing sacrifice in Christ. You made this perfect plan of salvation for me. You made this perfect plan where you would be God. The Lord Jesus Christ would die for me. He would rise and go to heaven. He would become an advocate on my behalf. And he would go, before he went to heaven, he would pray of the Father, say, I want you to leave them someone better, a helper better than I would be. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to live in us and to teach us and to convict us and to change our lives and to be with us. That's enough reason for me to want to draw near to God. That should be enough reason for all of us to want to draw near to God. Because he loved us. John 15, it's all about abiding in him. And in John 15, I don't know, in the middle, around 11, it says that these things I write to you that your joy may be full, that you can have this great joy in your life. And it all is circled around by this idea of abiding in Christ, just enjoying him, enjoying and knowing him. Our joy can be full. We respond to him. We respond to this invitation because he has loved us enough that we should. So we have a request. We have the requirements. We have the response. And I just want to ask you one more time real quick. When was the last time that you really drew near to God? That you took the time and sat down and said, I'm here because I want to know you. I'm here because you are more important in my life than that television show. You are more important in my life than that extra time of sleep. You are more important in my life than my career. When was the last time you said, okay, here I am. You are the most important thing to me. You see, we get an invitation and we respond to it some way in the mail. The ones that I respond to, well, that's not the truth. I shouldn't say that. Some of them I just can't make it. Some of them I have camp work going on, but we make it to some of those invitations, and whenever we are able to go to one, we go because we love the people that we are going to see. God has said, I want you. Right now, this invitation is as if he was asking you right now, do you want to draw near to me? And you can make a response right now in your seat and say, yes, I do want to, or no, I don't want to. And what are you going to do with this invitation that God is holding up to us? Are you going to respond to it? Or are you going to push it aside and say, no, I don't think I really need to draw near to him? I was reading in Psalm 95 this week. In Psalm 95, there's this psalm of praise, and in it it says, let us, I wish I could quote things by memory. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation. You see, the Lord is offering us this invitation. Every believer, draw near to me. And we can either say, yes, I will draw near to you, or like the children of Israel, it says, who for 40 years grieved him, we can say, no, I'm going to harden my heart to you. I'm not going to respond to you. And I want to tell you that for most of my life, that invitation was held out to me so many times. Micah, will you draw near to me? And I said, no, I will not. I will go this far, God, but I'm not going any farther in my life. I'm willing to give up this for you, but no, I'm not willing to give up that for you. And if I have been that way, I wonder, are there some in this room who have been that way, who God has said, I want you to draw near to me, and you have said no. And like the children of Israel, had a stick neck, and would not respond to him. And God says, I was grieved with that generation. Last year, I came to a point and I said, I don't want to grieve God anymore in my life. I'm tired of grieving God. And I said, I've got to respond. I've got to learn to draw near to you. And so he said, Micah, you go out into a field and you get on your face and you start praying. And you do that every day if that's what it takes, because I love you and I have asked you to draw near to me. So what do? I go out and get on my face in the field every day, and I say, Lord, here I am. You are more important to me. Is God important to you today? This invitation he's making to us to draw near, how will you choose to respond to it? I want to look briefly at a few examples. I don't have time for all of them. Our time is going quickly. But look at the life of Moses in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, if you've been at Turkey Hill at all this summer, you know this is my favorite passage in the Bible lately. I just love Moses' response. And the reason I love Moses in this passage is because Moses is an old man at this point in his life, older man. And Moses has been through an awful lot. And even though he's seen amazing things that I have not seen with my eyes, Moses gets to a point and he says, God, I want to know more of you. I love this passage. I love the heart of Moses. And so in this passage, the people have sinned against God with the golden calf. God has said, you're a stiff-necked people. I'm not going to lead you. And in chapter 33 in verse 12, Moses said, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Sorry, let me back up. I missed what I was getting here. Earlier on in verse 3, God says, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. And he says to them, but the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come into your midst in one moment and consume you, and now therefore take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do to you. So the children stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. And I'm not finding the verse right now. It's in here. Forgive me. But God says, I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you. And then he says to the people, forgive me, I lost it here. He says, I will go up in your presence, or I will let you go into this land, but I will not go with you. I will lead you, I will send my angel to go with you, but I'm not going in your presence because you're a stiff-necked people. There it is, actually. Depart, go in verse 1, and go up from here, you and the people whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to your descendants. I will give it to you, and I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst. Okay, so he says, you can go ahead and go to this land that I promised you, but I am not going with you. I'm going to give you an angel, someone to take care of you. I'm going to drive out every obstacle in your way, but I will not go with you. And Moses' response later on in verse 15, verse 14 and 15, is he basically says, God, if you don't want to go, if you're not going to go, I don't want to go. I only want to go if you are the one leading us on. And so I look at the life of Moses, and Moses simply said, I want your presence in my life, God. There's nowhere I want to be, nowhere I want to go unless you go before me. And I've been at Turkey Hill 9 years, and many of those years I was there, I was just serving, just doing a job, and I was pushing and leaving God behind. Many of those years, I was doing a good work, saying, here I am doing something good for God, and yet God wasn't really first and foremost in my life. I wasn't drawing near to him. Moses says, I don't want to do anything unless you are with me. So Moses knew what it was like to enjoy drawing near to God. He actually says to God, I want to see your glory. I tried that the other night. God didn't give me a cleft in a rock or anything. But it's a joy to know that God responds to us and draws near to us, and that's what he did. I didn't see this great thing happen, but I simply knew the presence of God in my life. God wants to draw near to you and me. Moses knew what that was like. Joshua, in this same chapter, in verse 11, the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So if you go on and read about the life of Joshua later, you see that Joshua is a great man that trusted in God. He tells the people, he goes on to tell them that you need to cling to God. You need to serve God. God needs to be first and foremost in your life. This is at the end of Joshua's life. And he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How did Joshua get to a point that he had that much confidence in God? Well, this verse here says he did not depart from the tabernacle. Now, some would say, well, he was just there to guard it. And that may have been the case, but I think Joshua enjoyed being where God was at. I think he loved the presence of God in his life. And so a question for each of us to consider and to ask ourselves, do I enjoy the presence of God? Do I enjoy him at all? So Joshua loved being where God was. We're going to skip ahead to one more. I had a couple others, but we're going to look at Mary. Mary has been someone that I've really enjoyed lately. In Luke chapter 10, we see in Mary's life, in a couple of the Gospels, we see her progression, I guess, if we want to call it that. I don't know. But we see three instances where she just simply enjoyed being at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it happened as they went that Christ entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, and one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part. What was that good part? That good part was that she sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She just loved being there and learning from him. She loved growing and knowing who he was. So she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, enjoying him. And then in John chapter 11, we see the next instance with her. And this is at the death of Lazarus, and in verse 28, when she had said these things, Martha, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, and said, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, Mary heard that, she arose quickly and came. She heard that Jesus wanted her. What did she do? She quickly arose and came. All right, we've all heard this morning, Jesus, God wants us to draw near to him. Will we quickly rise up and say, okay, I'm here. I'm ready to come to you. I'm ready to listen to you. I'm ready to hear what you have. She did. She responded quickly, and she went to him. And in verse 32, Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, and she fell down at his feet, and saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She had confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ that he could do amazing things. Where did that come from? I think it came from her learning and his presence when she would sit at his feet. She saw who this Savior was. And so she had confidence. She had trust in him. And she falls down at his feet and says, I need your help. You could have taken care of this. Here I am. And so then over in John chapter 12, after Lazarus has been raised in verses 1 through 3, the six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead, and there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. So now, where is Martha? She's worshiping at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And it's not just a financial cost, because that fragrance was an expensive cost to her, but it was also a spiritual cost, if we can say it that way. She was using her hair to wash the feet of the Lord Jesus. And what is the hair of the woman? It's the glory of the woman, right? And so she was using this, humbling herself in a position and worshiping the Lord Jesus. Man, she had learned a lot of things sitting at the feet of Jesus. I want to ask us, as we consider this invitation, draw near. Are you willing to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus? Recently, a friend of mine invited me to go with him. He was speaking in the Bahamas and invited me to go with him. I was like, yeah, sure. So I went to the Bahamas with him, and I was walking on the beach several days. I was enjoying praying, and I was really enjoying it. It was kind of in the beginning of this journey of drawing near to God in my life, and I was really enjoying a time with him, with God. And I was praying for some men I love, and one of them, he just speaks all over the place. He's very busy. And I prayed for this man, and I said, Lord, would you teach him to sit at your feet? Because he's really busy. And all of a sudden, it was like a brick wall stood in front of me, and my prayers were not being heard by God. I don't know how to express it. It was like all of a sudden, this thing I had with God was just, it wasn't working. Something happened between me and my prayers with God. And I just was like, what happened? I sat down on the beach. And I was like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And so, because I had been enjoying God, I was in my youthfulness, looking for an experience, and the Lord did not give an experience. I was looking for him to make a cloud appear and to show Micah, you are wonderful, you are a great kid. I was looking for something amazing to happen, and I just simply sat there for quite a long time, sat quiet, nothing said, no prayers, didn't know what to do, confused, and God then, not audibly, but I just knew this is what he was saying, was, Micah, you need to learn to sit at my feet. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Man, we have this awesome invitation, an awesome invitation given to every one of us in this room. What are you going to do with what God has asked of you? Draw near to me. Let us draw near to him. Lord is teaching me what that looks like in my life. I pray, Christine and I prayed on the way up for you as a group of believers. Many of you I don't know. Many of you I've met and I barely know. Many of you, some of you I don't want to know. But we prayed for you all. That's a joke, by the way. We prayed for you all that each of you would see up here not Micah Williams speaking, but the Lord himself. Not physically, but just simply see the message God has. And that each one, this drawing near to God is going to look different for each one of you. Some of you may have known him for a long time. Some of you have recently saved, maybe. It's going to look different. Some of you are busy, busy in life. Some of you don't have jobs. I don't know. Some of you are kids. What's it going to look like for each of you? I don't know. But we have simply asked, Lord, would you teach each one of them, from the most mature spiritually to the least mature, to draw near to you even more? Because even the most mature in this room needs to take this invitation and say, okay, I've been doing this, but I want to do it even more. Teach me, Lord. Like Moses or Paul, who said, I want to know him. So let us draw near. Let's respond. Let's not be like the children of Israel who stiffen their necks and grieve the heart of God. But let's draw near to a God who is really quite amazing, huh? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you so much that you have given us an invitation. First of all, Father, we thank you for the invitation to be the children of God. What a privilege it is to be called your child. I was thinking of it the other day as I was praying. I was thinking, I am the Son of God. I have been made his child because of Christ. What a privilege. And then, Father, more than that, not only am I your child, but you have given an invitation for me to draw near to you and to know you intimately, to look at the life of Paul and say, I can know God like that. I can know what it is to enjoy him in that same way. Father, this is a privilege, and I have missed out on it most of my life because I was too stubborn, too stiff-necked, and I grieved you. I don't want to grieve you anymore. You have asked me, draw near to me. Father, here I am. I want to do that. Father, I trust you have laid this on the hearts of others in here. I want to ask, Father, would you please now, if they've said, okay, I need to draw near to God, that as they go home today, they would say, nothing is going to be more important. Perhaps, Father, you would have them go on a walk with you and just say, here I am. Perhaps you would have them find a field in the middle of this big city and say, here I am. I want you. I want to know you intimately. I'm tired of tired of just going through the motions. So, Father, we commit these things into your hands, and we just ask, would you please work now? In your name we pray. Amen.